Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I'm moving forward. I pray everyone slept well last night, that no fires broke out and no thieves broke in. Hallelujah. I thank God for each and every one of you, that you are having a blessed and wonderful morning in the Lord. For God is good and greatly to be praised. I thank my daddy God that he is mindful of me. Hallelujah. What is a man that you are mindful of him? I am grateful that God is mindful of us, that we are loved by God, and that he cares about us, that he wants us to be saved. God does not want us to die in sin. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God. Father God in heaven, I thank you for this day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. Lord, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you are my strength. You are my strength, Father God. And you are my Redeemer. And I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am blessed to be called a son of God. I am thankful, grateful, and blessed to be your child, to be your daughter, to be yours. And I lift up the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior, my friend. I lift up his name. And I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor. And I give you glory. And I say amen. For it is finished, because you are my Father. And I am in love with my dad. Because my daddy loves me. And he covers me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. So I say amen. For it is so. And it is finished. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for another day that you didn't have to give me, but you did. Woo! Thank you, God. And we're going to start off in our Psalms, and then we'll go to our Proverb, and then we'll go to our New Testament word this morning. We were in Lamentations on Friday, and we started also in Ezekiel. Woo! And Ezekiel, all I can say is we're going to have a good week, because Ezekiel is all the answer. So I look forward to being back in Ezekiel on tomorrow, and Hebrews as well. We'll be starting two new books this morning. Philemon, which is a one-chapter book, which is a letter. And then we will be in Hebrews, which, oh, wow. I'm just excited, y'all. Y'all know how I get giddy for Jesus, and I get giddy for the word of God. So let's get back to our alphabet. Oh, wow. and I am, like, trying to learn this Hebrew alphabet. And I can tell you right now, I have not pronounced some of the alphabet correctly, but I'm working on it, and I'm surely trying, because I want to have it right. I want to do it right. I want to know that I'm saying it right. And so today we are in Kof. Q-O-F-P-H, if it's pronounced Kof. So pray for me. I'm getting it. And it says this, I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I will cry out to you. Save me, and I will keep your testimony. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. And I that's a highlightable. And what I thought about was this morning, I was up till wee hours studying for today. I have to give a sermon this morning, and I was working on it and studying the word for this morning. And all I could think about was, and then I got to my psalm and says, my eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. And that's what I was doing, meditating on the word of God, because God's word is important. I went to sleep thinking about God. Woke up thinking about God. You know, I love that song. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. We got to have a hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah moment. And we got to meditate on the word of God. And it says, hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They draw near who follow after wickedness. And we're seeing it all over our world today. Folks following after wickedness and not following after God. And I'm not talking the world. I'm talking Christians. I'm talking people who say they love God are falling after the world, falling after wickedness, falling after lies and cheats and grifters, falling after everybody besides God, worshiping people instead of God, idolatry. Because our Lord said in his commandments to Moses, thou shalt have no other God before me. That's his word. And it goes on to tell us, they are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. The commandments and the laws are not a yesterday thing. They are a today thing. Rosh, consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my case and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgment. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted, because they do not keep your words. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. And then you say, you better preach. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate a poor lion, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgment. Have those who love your law and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. We better understand that one day we will stand before God, and God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Or will he say, I don't know you. I want him to know my name. I want him to know Bridget Marie. I want him to know who I am because I love him and I want him to love me back. I want to make sure that I want to do what God tells me to do. Because the enemy loves to imitate God, but he can never be God. Understand, family, the Antichrist is out there and he is already busy. He has us so twisted up in this world that we don't know our front from our back. We don't know our head from our hiney. We don't know our feet from our head. We don't know anything. We're all messed up because we got twisted up. And we're wondering, why are we feeling like this? Because you have been indoctrinated to foolishness and saying things that you would never say and doing things that you would never do. Because you have gotten all messed up. We get caught up in fame. We get caught up in televised people. Oh, well, they're on TV, so they must be. No, they are a movie star, or they are a host of a show. That does not make them the best thing for our nation. We got to understand. We got to do what's right for God, because God is the one that's in charge. And, you know, I've had people get upset with me when I have said that God chose Donald Trump. He did for his season, and he lost, and God chose Joe Biden. And folks of faith have lost their minds because Donald Trump said he didn't win, that he didn't lose. No, I didn't say that every court across the land didn't say he lost. He said he didn't lose. Well, family, he lost. And God chose Joe Biden. Get over yourself. You're not bigger or better than God, because understand, nothing happens without God allowing it. And when we look at it in that way, we understand who's in charge is our Father God, not us, not man. Who is man? He is mindful of us. Understand, he is the one that created us. We didn't create him. I wasn't mean to preach this morning, but God put that to my spirit, that we get so caught up in what people say that we're forgetting what God says. In Psalms 119, which we just read, 119, I rise before the dawning of the morning and I cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. And we are ready to just whatever. And we talk about the Muslims. But understand one thing. They are not ashamed to pray wherever they are. I was at Disney World one year with my children and grandchildren. And we were walking through the park. And we happened to look over. And there was this group of people with their little girls. And they were praying. It was time for their prayer time. And they did not care that they was at Disney World. They went behind one of the little buildings. And they put out their rugs and they prayed. Prayer time was up. They rolled back up their rugs, put them back under their arms, and went on about their business. But they did not hesitate to pray. We walk around like we the greatest thing, and we barely pray to God. We need prayer. We need prayer. Prayer changes things. We need to pray for the unity of our nations. And I'm saying nations because this is not just an American show. This show goes across the world. We have got to pray for our nations. We need Jesus. We need God. We need to be mindful because God is mindful. We need to hope. We need to believe that God is God as covered. Don't be caught, don't get caught up in the rhetoric of lies and deception because God will hold us accountable. And the things that happen in one nation, you better believe it can happen in ours. Remember one thing, family. Hitler was voted in, and look what happened. Be careful. Be mindful. Be prayerful. We have just read Psalms 119, starting at verse 145 and ending at verse 168. And I have a life lesson from Psalm as well. And a life lesson is from Psalm 119, verse 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. If we think of the Bible as a mysterious book that's hard to understand, we won't value it much and we'll read it even less. But if we see it as a priceless treasure, we'll dive into it often and reap its amazing benefits. And there are benefits in God's word. His grace abounds. Woo! Hallelujah. His mercy endures. His love is everlasting. God cares about us. And I love this word from Proverbs chapter 28, verse 11 starting. It says, the rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding searches him out. Don't get caught up in okey-doke, family. Don't get caught up. Don't get caught up. Proverbs 28, verse 12. When the righteous rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. He who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. And I just read Proverbs chapter 28, verses 11 through 13. And a life lesson from verse 13 is this. Sin left covered and in the dark retains their awful power over us. Come on now. While sins exposed to the light of truth through confession lose their ability to keep us bound. Confession is not beating yourself up over sin, but freedom from its power. Come on, y'all. God has put everything we need in his word. All we have to do is open up and read it. Open it up and read it. Let's open the word today. I thank you for opening it with me and joining me this morning as we study. As we move forward in God's word, we are on November the 4th, so we are not that many weeks from finishing that entire Bible. Can you imagine that? That entire Bible is almost done. We're going to do it again. Because the more word we have, the clearer things become. The more we study and meditate on God's word, the clearer things become. And I thought about it one day, and I'm like, I can read The Dance of the Dragon. Game of Thrones. all the volume, I better be able to read the Word of God. Because when I tell you, those books are thick, real thick, real big. And I say this, if I can sit and have the patience to read fantasy, I can read God's Word. So let us not forget who created us. It was God. Not George R. Martin, but God. We got to read the Word of God and study and show ourselves approved. Meditate on your Word. We got to meditate on the Word of God. What did he say? My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your Word. We got to stay awake sometimes and study to show ourselves approved by God. To let God know he is just as important as any novel out there. He is just as important as any show. He is just as important as the air we breathe, because we wouldn't have it if it wasn't for God. And now we're going to go into our New Testament word this morning, and we are in two new books. We are in Philemon, and this is what it says. It is authored by Paul, because we know it's in the distance. Probably around AD 63, when Paul was imprisoned in Rome, Paul begs mercy for a runaway slave converted to Christianity. Philemon is a fellow laborer of Paul, a man who has refreshed other Christians with his love and generosity. But the apostle writes with a deeper request that Philemon forgive and take back a runaway slave who apparently accepted Christ under Paul's teaching. My son, Osinima, whom I have begotten in my bonds. If thou count me therefore a partner, Paul wrote to Philemon, receive him as myself. And a quotable, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. I will read that because it's only one chapter in Philemon. That'll be in verses 45. Have confidence in thy obedience I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. What's unique about Philemon and unusual? With only one chapter, five verses, Philemon is the shortest of Paul's letters in the Bible. So what? Christians are called to forgive, and here's a practical example to consider. With God's help, will you let go of your grudges? Come on, folks. Will you let go of your grudges? Let go. Shake off the confusion of lies and deceit. God is watching. And he is a forgiving God. He forgave me. He forgave you. He forgives us every morning. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. Great is his faithfulness. He's faithful, even when we are not. We've got to love God. He loves us. And he wants us to love each other. I'm thankful that my daddy loves me. I'm grateful he cares about me. And as we continue in Philemon, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, our fellow soldiers, and to the church in the house, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus, toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of your good things, which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such as one as Paul, the age and now also prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have forgotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. For you therefore receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Your brother, let me have joy with you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, while also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you a pillar of part for us, my fellow prisoner in Christ. Jesus greet you as the Lord Archytas, Demas, Luke, my fellow labor. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now, normally, in his writing, Paul ends with grace be with you all. Amen. And he writes to the church. But in this, he was writing to a person. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Paul is phenomenal. And as we go into Philemon 6, verses, it says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Paul wants his friend Philemon to know that his testimony to outsiders about the glories of Jesus will become strong and powerful as he meditates on how much Christ has already done for him. Meditate. We got to spend time with God. Philemon 14, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. God has the power to compel us to do anything he wants, but he does not normally choose to use that power. Why not? Because he wants willing and joyful hearts, not grudging and sorrow ones. Because I'm just going to say it. Christians can be hateful. And we are the ones that will turn someone away from Christ because of how we act. Yet we want to say, Lord, Lord, on Sunday morning. But be hateful as a junkyard dog on Monday through Saturday. Come Sunday. Woo, praise the Lord, everybody. Believe me, when I say God will see everything you do. And when we stand before him, will we be the ones that will say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or will we be the ones that he says, I don't know you? I don't know you. We got to understand, we all are going to stand before the judgment seat. We all will stand before God. Because when it says absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord, it doesn't say just Christians. It says everyone. as of the bodies in the presence of the Lord. So good and bad and ugly will be in the presence of the Lord. We leave this earth cry judgment. Verse 15 of Philemon, perhaps he departed for a while for his purpose, that you might receive him forever. Paul does not know why God allowed the slave once a month to run away from his Christian master. The escape probably caused some economic damage, but he conjectures an answer based on the grace of God. Grace. God gives us grace, and we got to give each other grace. God gives us grace, and we must give grace to one another. And we're about to start a new book. Hand clap, please. And Hebrews, not David, but Paul, Luke, Barnabas, and Apollos have all been suggested as the author of Hebrews. Probably sometimes it was the date of Hebrews is probably about 80-70, since Hebrews refers to temple sacrifices. The Jerusalem temple was destroyed by Romans in 80-70. In 10 words or less, Jesus is better than any Old Testament personal sacrifice. I'm not going to comment on it. Jesus, yeah, I can. He is the best thing. Jesus is better than any Old Testament personal sacrifice. We already know obedience is better than sacrifice. And Jesus was obedient in his sacrifice for you and for me. You know, the enemy will try to twist the word of God. Well, I don't know Jesus was and is better than any Old Testament person or sacrifice. Understand, God don't play. Jesus was there at the beginning, and he will be there at the end. Let us make man in our own image. Praise the Lord. Understand who you belong to. And the details of Hebrew written to Jewish Christians, hence the name Hebrews. This long letter emphasizes the superiority of Christianity to Old Testament Judaism. Jesus is so much better than angels, Moses, and the previous animal sacrifices. But if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, Hebrews asks, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jewish Christians, some of whom were apparently wavering in their commitment to Jesus, are reminded that Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises, a once-for-all sacrifice on the cross that provides eternal redemption for us. I got to say that again. A once-for-all sacrifice on the cross that provides eternal redemption for us. Quotable. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Verse 2 and 3 to 2, verse 3. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Chapter 4, verse 9. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Chapter 9, verse 27. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. Chapter 10, verse 25. Now faith, come on, y'all. We all know this. We learned this as little kids. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and 1. Quotable. And another quotable from chapter 12. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Look unto Jesus, not man. And I love my pastor, but not your pastor. But to Jesus. We got to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then this is what we all need to think about in this day and in this ball of confusion. Let brotherly love continue. Let us love each other. God does not care about your outside. He is looking at your inside. Is your spirit bright? Are you allowing your spirit to be dark because you're full of hatred and bigotry and every ism out there? We've got to love each other. We've got to love God. We've got to confess our sins and allow Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. All of our time is running out. Hebrews is one of only two New Testament letters, the other being 1 John, that includes no greeting or hint of its author. So what? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water from an evil conscience. I'll read it again. Having therefore, brothers, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And we know that that pure water is Jesus, who washed us, white us. Loving the Lord is what we do. Praising Him and caring about each other is who we are. We praise Jesus. We love the Lord. We got to love each other. We got to have that I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. But praise God with me. Hallelujah. Love will conquer hate. Love trumps hate every time. Love trumps hate every time. Keep God first and watch Him work. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? None. And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? None. But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "But all the angels of God worship Him." Hallelujah. When Jesus came, the angels rejoiced. Hallelujah. And of the angels, He says, "Who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire?" But to the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels have you ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? And I can honestly say, none. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Whew. That's a question. And as we go back to chapter 1, actually, we're going to go ahead and read chapter 2, then we'll come back to life lessons and questions. Chapter 2 of Hebrews. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjugation to anger, but one testified in a certain place saying, what is a man, you are mindful of him? Our title for today comes from this word. Or the Son of Man, that you take care of him. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjugation under his feet. But in that he put all in subjugation under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he has to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. And when tempted, what did he use against the master of the devil? He used the word of God. That is why we meditate on this word day and night, that we can fight. This is your arsenal. This is your weapon of choice. When you come up against the enemy, you got to remember and use the word of God. You just say, Lord, refresh my memory, that I will come with the word, that I will come with your word. For you are mindful of me, God, and I trust you. Hallelujah. So these are some life questions. And I thank God for Stanley. Again, we are coming out of charge of Stanley. Life principle daily by the biblical principles for each day of the year. And again, I disclaimer, I'm not paid by InTouch or any of Dr. Stanley's ministries to hawk a Bible. But I will tell you, this Bible is absolute for your biblical arsenal. This Bible is a Bible you need to add to your King James, to your New King James, because I'm reading to New King James. But you need to have this in your biblical arsenal. You should have an NIV. You should have an NLT. You should have the King James. And you should have this Bible. Hallelujah. I even have a homie Christian Standard Bible. And I'm not sure if God's going to lead us to it or not. I don't know. But we're going to keep trusting God. He hasn't given me a Bible yet for next year. He may give me this one again. Or he may give me a Christian Standard Bible. I don't know. I'm just praying on it and I'm meditating on it. But we will read the Bible again. The whole entire thing. Because that's my thing. And I got to do what God called me to do. Then it says, what if? It says, it rises up through your chest like a shutter of electricity. You ponder the devastating what if. What if I am not pleasing to God? What if there is something still standing between the two of us? What if I am not really saved? Israelites surely felt shivers of uncertainty as I pleased men about God, went before God to make atonement for their sins. Small bells on the hems of the priest's garments indicated whether he had survived being in God's holy presence. When bells started ringing, the people knew that the priest had failed to make acceptable sacrifices to God for them. For Christians, there is never the uncertainty of being accepted, for we are served by a very different high priest. Hebrews 1 and 3 assures us that Jesus, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Have you ever felt a tremble of uncertainty in your heart? There are no more what ifs for the person who has believed in Jesus Christ, because he is the perfect priest. Hallelujah. He is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them in Hebrews 7 and 25. Take heart, your salvation is utterly secure. When you feel the tremble, remind yourself that you can trust him because he will never fail you. Hallelujah. Can you say it with me? My daddy God, my Savior Jesus Christ will never fail me. Hallelujah. We got to trust in the Lord today. Who is a man that he is mindful of us? He is mindful of us. What is a man that he is mindful of us? God is mindful of you. He's mindful of me. Hebrews 1 and 8, Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever. Repeatedly, the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is to be worshipped as God, praised as the Creator, recognized as ruler, glorified as God's only Son. When we hear Jesus, we hear God. When we observe Jesus, we observe God. If we ever want to know what God is like or how he might act or where he might go, all we have to do is watch Jesus. Hallelujah. I look to Jesus this morning. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? We may not see most of their activity, but God has given his angels the job of ministering to us. We may never know how often an angel spared us from injury, guided us to safety, or engineered some success. Can the church say amen? God is taking care of us every day through in many, many ways. What the Bible says about our great salvation. What has been the greatest moment of your life? For some people, the answer might be their wedding day, the birth of a child, or an important promotion. But for believers, the best experience is salvation. When their eternal destiny was changed, new Christians often have a fervor for to share their faith. In time, however, many find the art schooling as they focus less on their relationship with Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:1 instructs we must give the most more earnestly to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Salvation is God's amazing solution to man's sinful condition. It is his gift of rescue through the death of Jesus from the penalty of our transgressions. Paul says that before Christ entered our life, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, Ephesians 2 and 3. No matter how good our behavior may have seemed, we were spiritually dead and separated from God. Receiving Christ's forgiveness breathed life back into our spirit so that we could go before the... We must not forget what Jesus did for us. We have the balm to soothe the hurting hearts we come in contact with every day. But if excuses crowd our mind before passion fills our hearts, people will never hear. Thankfully, we can rediscover the passion of our early Christian days. Take time today to praise God for his salvation, which delivered you from a path toward disaster. Then commit to carrying out your part in the Great Commission, like just talking about Jesus with someone in your life. Matthew 28:19. Hebrews 2:17. In all things, he had to be made like his brethren that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Jesus had to leave heaven, take on human flesh, not only to become our sacrifice, but also so he would know experientially exactly what it's like to be one of us. That's what makes him a great advocate. He defeats Satan and forever takes away the weapon of death so that God's people might say goodbye to fear and hello to life. Hello? Hello to life. You know, I hear people say, I love them to death. Don't love me to death. Love me to life. Love me to life. And that's what we got to change our vernacular. We got to say, I love you to life. You are good. You are wonderful. You are blessed to be a blessing. And I thank God for you. We got to understand who we belong to and that God loves us, each and every one. Hebrews 2:8, he himself has suffered being tempted. He is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus knows what it feels like to be tempted. We can never say to him, you don't know what it's like, because he does. In fact, we know less of the pain of temptation than he does, since he never gave into it. Hallelujah. Jesus never to temptation, but we have. On many occasions, I'm sure we have given in to temptation. That's why we pray, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. We don't want to be led into temptation. We want to be forgiven our sins, our debt of sin. And we have to forgive those who have sinned against us. Before we go into our prayers for today, let's get a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And our words from Sister Carolyn on Friday was this: God will give you strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. And on yesterday, be grateful for today and never take anything for granted. Life is a blessing. Woo! Come on now, my sister. And for today, all up in the lesson. God can do anything but fail. Come on now. She all up in the words. Have an abundantly blessed Sunday, family. And as we get ready to wrap it up, a couple of prayers for this morning and scripture. And the first is the golden rule. Do unto others what you want them to do to you. This is the meaning of the law of Moses and the teaching of the prophets. Matthew 7:12 NCB. Merciful God, you never withhold your compassion from those who need it. Your kindness never runs out, and your love is an endless supply. May I never swerve from the golden rule that says to treat others the way I would want to be treated. Reciting this seems so flat, I don't want your truth to become stale. I will freely extend mercy to others, confident that I need it myself on a regular basis. I will forgive quickly, not wanting any grudges held against me. I will give people the benefit of the doubt, hoping others will have the same courtesy. I will be honest and direct with my needs and expectations in love, knowing that is how I will want to be communicated with. In all I do, let me honor others as I would like to be honored. May the revelation of your love intensify this desire within me. And the question for this morning is, are your attitudes and actions consistent with how you expect to be treated by others? Do you treat people the way you want to be treated? Do you treat them with love, or do you treat them with hate? Do you have compassion, or do you say they need to get a job? I ain't got time for them people. We got to be very careful, because when we may be in need, we may need somebody to help us, just like we should have others in need. Sometimes you are blessed to be a blessing. Ask God what he wants you to do. Let love rule is what God wants us to do. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Colossians 3:14. Ah, but perfect love comes straight from you. There is nothing that your affection doesn't touch. I can't escape it. The law of your loyal love is the ultimate principle to live by, yet it is so much more than an idea. It is tangible. It is blood poured out, body crucified, buried, and finally resurrected. Your love is the driving force of the universe. Your pure kindness and affection is what holds us all together. May I never grow so accustomed to your kindheartedness that I take it for granted and shrug with carelessness at those who just don't get it. As I have been transformed by your compassion, may I take it on, letting it become my motivation to pour it out freely to others, unwilling to keep the best gift I've ever received to myself. Your incredible love is too good to hoard. The very nature of it is genuine. God's love is genuine. It's generous. Excuse me. That Kentucky accent all out. God's love is generous. Who am I to try to mold it into something else by my own comfort? Let me be a vessel of your love that pours out as freely as it pours in. And our question as we wrap today is this: how freely does love flow from your life? And I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Please continue keeping God first in your life. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and watch God work in your life. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Whew, it's time to get ready for Sunday school, y'all. So have a blessed day. I love you all. Whew, from the bottom of my heart, I thank God for all of you, and I praise him every day. May he continue working in your life and through your life. Let God abide. For what is a man that he is mindful of it? He is our Father, and he loves us without condition. Have a blessed day. It is a wrap.